All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks you for coming and worshiping here at Camp Elam today, and especially eyebrow people, but I'm sure we will introduce you later more specifically. We'd like to begin by singing This Is the Day, a simple camp song the Lord has made today. Let us rejoice in it. I don't know if you want to stand.
Our invitation for joining us here. It's a great time.
time and a great opportunity, and we hope that we can make the most of it. I also want to be focusing this whole service on God's creation, which includes us. We are a part of God's good creation. And as we look around, it's going to be more difficult because we're inside. You have to peer out the windows. And when you go outside to have lunch, enjoying all of the nature that's around us and a different setting, remember, this is God's good creation. And I am a part of it. Put yourself into that. So all of the things that we sing, all of the scriptures that are read, all of the things that take place within this service will be focused around that, around God's good creation and our part in it. So I'm going to start by reading Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and then 13 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to the scripture, to respond to the welcome. And this call to worship, you don't have any words other than two simple lines, if you'd like to practice, and then I'll give you the cue when you say them. Great is your name.
Great is your name.
Great is your love.
Great is your love.
So you say those two phrases, one after the other. I'll read something, and then you will say, great is your name, great is your love. And this comes from our Sing the Journey book. O God, you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth.
Great is your name, great is your love.
For you, the valleys shall sing for joy. The trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Great is your name. Great is your love.
For you, the monarchs of earth shall bow. The poor and persecuted shall shout for joy.
Great is your name. Great is your love.
Your love and mercy shall last forever, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise.
Great is your name. Great is your love.
Let's pray together. Thanks be to you, O God, that we have risen this day to the rising of this life itself. May it be a day of blessing, O God of every gift, a day of new beginnings given. Help us to avoid every sin, and the source of every sin to forsake. And as the mist scatters from the crest of the hills, may each ill haze clear from our soul. Bless us here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing out of the hymnal. gospel section. So if you turn to 529, come read that love the Lord.
Thank you.
We'll do one more. 558. My hope is 558. My hope is built on nothing less.
Creatures, sky, praise.
Teach us the vocabulary to convey our care, the words to tell the earth we hear her crying for peace, the syllables of solace for all we have lost, the gestures of healing for all we have harmed. Bless these simple gifts that we offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Margaret is very fast. She probably ran past you. We were hoping to be able to throw some offering into that clanky plate. Now, if you're following the order of service, which I have to do because it has been sorely adjusted to what we are used to doing, and there is something very special right now, so those who are participating in that very special way, you can prepare yourselves. And I will read the scripture that is associated with this very special event. If you have your Bibles and you want to look it up, it is Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. You can have a seat, folks.
Which exactly? Does it matter who's who?
It doesn't. Well, if you can't tell, this is Julia, this is Zachary, and that's Grandpa.
I said Zachary.
Very sad. Grandpa has a mustache.
But it's not great.
No, he's a young grandpa.
He colors his mustache. And you see that I have a microphone, so once these characters begin speaking, you'll have to adjust your ears and your hearing over to that side. And they will raise their voices so that you'll have no problem hearing. But this is based on these verses from Proverbs chapter 30, 24 to 28. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold of with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yes, four which are comely and going. A lion, which is strongest among the beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and a he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. Especially think about the conies in the rocks. Take it away.
Zachary, Julia, get ready to go. We are getting on to our business walk here.
Please, Grandpa, tell me you're kidding. I don't want to walk around and look at flowers all day.
Well, your Grandma and Julia really want to go and take pictures and stuff, so we are going to be troopers and have good attitudes and go with them. Besides, you can learn a lot of good stuff from God's creation.
Don't forget your butterfly net and, oh, Richard, my bird book and bird glasses. Richard, grab your walking stick. I think I need my glasses too. Richard, grab your walking stick. I am not carrying you back again.
Yes, dear. Just hold on. The butterflies aren't going anywhere, and neither are the rocks for the front yard.
Zachary! This is so much fun already. Look at that bird, it's an albatross.
Nope,
eagle?
Nope,
just pigeon.
Rats, I left my BB gun at home. That pigeon would have been a prize winner. Man, I always miss my golden opportunities.
All right, time for a sandwich. We have ham, salami, turkey, and cheese.
Let's get walking. Oh, look, there's a deer.
Ooh, look how fast they can run, Grandma.
God designed them that way.
to eat them.
You know, this isn't so bad, but I wish I had my BB gun.
This sounds like a good time for a sandwich. We have ham, maybe Swiss, hickory, smoked turkey, and...
Is that all you can think about at a time like this? We're having a blast.
There's a skunk!
Oh no! Remember last summer? I'm not getting it again.
Oh, wait, Julia. Don't scare him. Shh. God created the skunk to put off that foul odor so the bigger animals would leave him alone. You see, God had a precise plan for every animal.
Wow, that was a close one. I thought you were going to get it for two summers in a row, Julia.
This is another good time for a sandwich. We have even freshly baked ham and Virginia ham and Monterey Jack and...
Quiet with the food already, Rachel. Let's help the kids learn about God's creation.
Yeah, Grandpa. What's your favorite animal to learn about?
Page two. I like conies.
Richard, what in the world do chili-covered hot dogs on buns have to do with God's creation?
Not the food, dear. The animal from the Bible. The coney.
Does the coney look like wiener dog?
They aren't wiener dogs. They are rot gopher-like things.
I see you know what you're talking about. So what do these rock gopher things look like?
Did I mention we have sandwiches, kids?
Richard!
Okay, I don't know what they look like, but I know that sometimes they are important.
How are they important?
Did they taste good?
Well, they are smart. They always stay near the rocks. They knew that they could hide in the rocks when something was trying to attack it. So consequently, the coney doesn't venture far from the rocks.
What's the point, Grandpa?
I think what Grandpa is saying is that the coney never leaves the rock because the rock protects him. We as Christians have God as our rock or our place to hide. As long as we stay near the rock...
I get it, Grandma. As long as we stay near the rock, Jesus will protect us.
Exactly.
Hey, Grandpa, I'm hungry. When do we have our sandwiches again?
We have bologna and salami and smoked turkey and Limburger and...
Oh, boy, I have to ride home with them again.
So the first question will go to that side, my left,
and then the second question to this side. But if you miss it, then it will come to this side. And you can feel free to shout out the answer, but if you shout out a wrong answer, that's it. You're not ready? This side. And you guys can think about your answer very quietly. And it all has to do with nature, more or less. What was the name of the pool which was thought to be able to heal people?
Shula.
Bethesda.
Oh, I heard the first one, and that was incorrect. Would you like to venture a guess? That was the one that was incorrect. Bethesda.
But I said that.
You did, but it was after an incorrect answer.
No, they said the wrong
one
first.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, this side, now it's your turn. Who burnt the fields of the Philistines with burning foxtails?
Samson.
Correct. Your turn. Did you hear the answer? Samson. Samson. What two kinds of food? These are very small, aren't they? What two kinds of food were said to be flowing in the Promised Land?
Milk and honey.
Milk and honey. Gave you an easy one because you missed the first one.
Oh, we got it.
I'm not condescending at all. Okay, you guys on this side. What bone of a donkey did Samson use to kill 1,000 Philistines? What bone?
A jawbone.
Yes. Okay, you have a chance. What aspect of Elisha's body were the young men making fun of when he caused them to be killed by bears?
Bald head.
Yes! His bald head. I'm not touching that. This side. What was the first job that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden?
Tend the garden.
Sure.
And first job. You're going to be even the same.
Name the animals.
Pardon?
Name the animals.
Yes, name the animals. Okay, that was their question, so now you get your own question. What did Jesus say a good tree shows?
Good fruit.
Yes. We're going to have to take Ingrid out of the running. She will answer all the questions. Well done. Okay, this side, your question is, to what kind of animals did Rebecca offer water, showing that she was the bride God had picked for Isaac?
Camels.
It's ours.
It was camels.
Yes. We agreed for these camels, indeed. Okay, your turn. Margaret, now's your turn. In Joseph's dream, how many stars bowed down to him?
11.
Anyone? I heard it. Was that a real answer, or was it someone afraid to say?
Lena's got all the answers.
Lena? Did Ingrid say it to you?
Oh, no.
What did you say?
11.
Yes, and 11 is correct. This side, it's your question. What kind of bird landed on Jesus after he was baptized?
Oh, a dove.
Yeah. This side. What sign did God give us that the promise, that he promised?
The rainbow. The rainbow.
So easy. The rainbow. He promised never to destroy the earth again with a flood. Okay, your side. Of what kind of flower was Jesus speaking when he said, they toil not, neither do they spin?
Lilies of the field.
Yes.
What's the score?
You're even. You are even. Yeah, you can get it here correct and so forth. Anyways. Smart Alan. Okay, this slide. Who in the New Testament is recorded to have walked on water other than Jesus? I thought it was going to be a trick question when I read it. I thought no one. And then, okay, here, you guys. How many days did the waters remain on the earth after the flood? what's your question? Out of which river did the cows come in Pharaoh's dream? The Nile, the river Nile. Okay, there's only four more questions. If you want to beat these guys, you gotta get on it. What are all of the following? Ararat, Sinai, Horeb, and Nebo.
Mountains.
Yes. Yes, they are mountains. Can you see the theme? Are you sensing the whole creation and all of that? Okay, good, just a reminder. What did Jesus do to some clay before putting it on a man's eyes to heal blindness? No shame.
Spit.
Yes.
She's been whispering the answers in my ear, and I.
Oh, that's why you heard the voice. Yes, Shirley, it was so
you want
quiet.
One of those
there? Okay, your turn. Last chance.
Corner of silence.
What kind of a bird covered the Israelite camp the night before God provided manna for the Israelites to eat?
Ravens?
Boy, you guys got all the words in the Bible. The first one that I heard was incorrect. This side, would you like to make an attempt? What kind of bird? Pick one.
Whale.
Whale is right. Eventually you got there. Yes, somebody did say it. But there were a number of incorrect ones. And your turn. Last question. What was the name of the island where John was held prisoner when he had the vision recorded in Revelation? Patmos. Okay.
I have a question too.
We don't answer.
Conies in the rocks.
What about the conies in the rocks?
What is a coney?
What is a coney?
Yeah. I looked it up.
Okay.
The new RSV translates it as badger.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't use my Bible, because I'm using the NRSV. I didn't want to take away from that play, which was all about the conies. Thank you for your curiosity, Ingrid.
Is that food?
Pardon?
Is that food?
Anything can be food. Except rocks. Rocks cannot be food. Okay, now you see it's your turn. It says sharing. However, it also says I spy. And I had this in my mind because I had us sitting outside on the deck. And I know that when we have services here, everybody's always looking around and paying attention to everything else except whoever is speaking in front. So then I was going to say, okay, now what are you seeing that is so interesting? What are you seeing or experiencing here in this location that you would, just this morning, like to comment on?
Smoke.
Oh, sorry, Ken. Ken says smoke. Yeah. And that's a reality. Thank you for that. What else? Anything that you see or you experience every time you come to the camp or Lake Belche?
Boats on the lake.
Boats on the lake.
Or kayaks.
Anything man-made floating things. Surely.
Ducks.
I was noticing a few ducks out there myself. Others.
We saw hawks on the way.
Wow, hawks.
Maybe those bald guys.
Those bald guys.
Vultures.
Oh,
vultures.
Others. What do you see or appreciate or notice when you come here or have come here?
Trees.
Trees?
Pelicans.
Too many trees.
Okay. Too many trees.
Cabins.
Oh. Are you thinking about having built the cabins and the effort and the work that has gone into them in the past? He's just smiling. A Hank smile.
A big pile of snow at Chapman?
Oh, really? Yeah. He's just trying to throw me off. Thanks, Troy.
It is actually a big pile, but it's not snow.
Correct. Yes. That white stuff. And we don't want to talk about that. It's coming soon enough. Anyone else? What else do you see or experience here?
Hills.
Again?
Hills.
Bills?
Hills.
Oh, hills.
Hills.
Yes, the hills, the rolling hills. You know what, I'm surprised nobody said it. The company that we find here, each other.
Right.
You know, and that is part of the, we think about God's good creation. And we look outside, and we look up at the sky, and we look at the ground, and we forget that we are all a part of God's good creation. We ourselves, as well as our brothers and our sisters. And we can equally respond to nature around us, as well as to one another. Thank you for your sharing. I will surely come forward and read for us the scripture, Jeremiah 18, 1 to 11.
And I'm reading from the NIV. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the problem with permanence, it is a problem. Some people might think, oh no, I love permanence. I like things to stay the same. Don't change things up on me. I like the way it was. I don't want it to be any different. I would like all of the women, and some of the men actually here, to think back in their history when women used to get permanence. Now we call them perms, and sometimes they are still gotten, not nearly as much as they used to be gotten. The problems with permanence.
Very scary time.
Very scary. And once you had a permanent, it did last a very long time, especially if it was a bad one. The good ones didn't seem to last as long, but the bad ones lasted forever, it seemed. And it took forever. And it smelled awful. So think about all of those negatives connected to the idea of permanence. Well, I was a teenager, not quite a teenager, probably a preteen, and I discovered something for myself. Now, my mom had a couple of boxes of those Tony curlers underneath the sink in the bathroom, and those little wrapper papers. Now, those were not to wrap cigarettes. I didn't even know that was possible. But that was to wrap the hair, and then you wrap it in those skinny, skinny little Tony curlers. Women, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this? I discovered that you didn't have to get a permanent, but you could wash your hair, and you could self-wrap your hair, all of these Tony curlers all around your whole head, sleep on it overnight, and then suddenly on Sunday morning, unwrap to a wedding shower. And I hated going to wedding showers. My older cousins were getting married and sit around in a circle on a perfectly good Sunday afternoon, wasted, because you were sitting inside playing very silly games. Do you know what I'm talking about, Wim? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And as a kid, I hated it. And my mom said, Lois, if you don't go, no one will go to your showers. Well, this time I didn't even mind going so much because I had my new hair. I had my new self made permanent. And we went to the shower, this wedding shower, and the attention was supposed to be on the bride-to-be, and it was all on me, or so I felt as a teenager. Everybody, oh, Lois, look at you! Yes, look at you and your head of curls. And then something incredible, never happened before, probably never happened again, happened at the shower. Someone said, why don't the kids go outside and swim in the pool? Oh, no! Everybody knows what will happen to a non-permanent if you go swimming in the pool. What will happen? It's gone. It is no more. It was not permanent to begin with. Who loves swimming more than me? No one. Now I was torn. What is a body to do? Keep the hair or go swimming? What do you think I did? All of you are wrong. I was so vain that I refused to jump in the pool and go swimming because I didn't want to ruin my hairdo. The beginning of a life of silliness for fashion. So this is my long way around of saying we are characters in this journey of permanence and non-permanence. And we always have new choices and unexpected choices and turns and offerings are made. We think it's all going to go one way and we think it's going to be bad and boring and ugly, and then suddenly a whole new vista opens up and we're not ready to go down that wonderful road that we would love to go because of something else that we want to hold on to and keep and make permanent that's not permanent. And nobody thinks it's permanent. You're not fooling anyone. I would like us to have three ideas floating around in our mind together with this Jeremiah passage. First of all, we can learn from object lessons. The objects we've seen today, the story I just told, the objects outside, and the Jeremiah passage includes object lessons. Don't think I can only learn in church. Everywhere is an opportunity for learning, for a new door to be opened. Second, things change. Things do change. It seems like a silly thing to say. We know it. We don't want it. We want it to change. Things change. That's the second thing. Third idea, God does change. I didn't hear any. No gasps. No shock. God does change. Okay, let's go through. Right here, Jeremiah is invited. Get up and let's go somewhere else. God says to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. All of you accepted the invitation to get up, leave your homes, and go to a new location. Maybe some of you didn't want to. Maybe you like it where you were, but you still accepted the invitation. Jeremiah accepted God's invitation when God said, let's go look at the potter. Let's go watch what's happening here. Are we ready to receive those invitations as they come and learn from those events? They're out there all the time. It's not just for kids. Ken and I were talking about that before this service, that in the past there had always been object lessons and stories and things for children, right? Bring the children forward and we're going to have an object lesson, and then all of the adults accidentally learn something. Let's keep that kind of curiosity and open mind. I could learn something even from looking outside today. Object lessons everywhere. The Proverbs are written as object lessons. Look at this animal, look at that animal, look at nature. Pay attention to what's going on around. We can learn from it. Take all the opportunities we can to be curious and open. Secondly, things change. I'm sure you've all heard the very old joke. I bet Ken has even told it in church. Speaking of old jokes. Oh, now. The wife says to the husband, "You never tell me you love me anymore." And what does the husband reply? He says, "I told you 50 years ago that I loved you. If anything changes, I'll let you know." You don't have to keep saying it again and again. The same thing here. Things do change. We do need to hear truths over and over and over. But life changes. And right here in the Jeremiah story, the first thing Jeremiah sees in the pottery house is that something happened, something changed. The potter was creating something. And then it didn't work out exactly right. My Bible says, the clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. The potter knew what he was doing. The clay was perfectly good, not a problem, but the clay was spoiled. Something had to change. Don't think about yourself, your situation, your position, or your history as permanently embedded. Things do change. The story of Jeremiah shows us that this was spoiled or changed. The initial intention had to be changed. However, God, the potter, keeps working. You notice in the story, the potter didn't say, "Oh, that's no good," and fling, throw it away. That's what we do. This doesn't work anymore, let's throw out garbage, right? That is how we think as well. We need to pay attention that God continued to work with something that seemed to have spoiled. Things changed, and God continued to work. God continues to work with us. And we, as a part of all creation, are in the midst of this ongoing change and work